Morning, Pete.
Hey, Brian. Good to see you.
Oh, I'm so excited to reconnect. How was your holidays? How was your time off for the new year? How are you doing?
You know, had a brilliant, really, really good 2 weeks off. Fantastic. Me and Ange were saying that. We just had such a good chill time. We did some things in the middle of it. You know, we had a big New Year's crossover service and different things. But those things are a joy. But we enjoyed proper time off, did shopping, went to coffee shops, read a bit, did some writing. Brilliant. Watched some movies. Yeah. What about you, Brian? Good time?
Yeah, that doesn't necessarily sound like time off. Did some writing. I mean, you just can't drop
I
that
love
in there. Okay, yeah. Well, that's good. Yeah, you know what? It was just what I needed.
Yeah.
And I think I struggled the first couple days. Like, am I able to disengage my brain from all of the things? Mm-hmm. And I think a day or two was going by. I'm like, I'm not sure I'm able to do this. But my daughter for Christmas got me a book, like a fiction book, and I'd never heard of it. But I was so struggling to disengage. I'm like, well, maybe I'll give it a go. And I think it was just what I needed to just get my brain out for a moment. And then after I was finished with that book, just enjoying some time with the family. We've gotten into that game Paddle. Have you heard of Paddle?
No.
Oh, it's like an indoor tennis pickleball combination thing. It's from Spain, but it's I don't know, we've gotten into it and it's been nice. Hey. My family likes racket sports.
Your family around over Christmas?
Yeah, they're around. My family is generally in the Glasgow area.
Yeah.
Your son
went to YWAM for a while, right?
No, my daughter did. My daughter went to YWAM mm-hmm. for 4 years, but she's back now working with Scotland Bible School. And then my son got a flat about, I don't know, half hour walk, but in Glasgow, towards city center. And so nearish by-ish. And so it was good. It was good. Good season.
Brilliant. Went to some football matches as well, Brian. I support Hearts of Midlothian.
Did you?
But that's not really, it's not going so well. We're at the bottom of the league, but we've just come off the bottom. So it's going to be a good year.
Okay. Well, it's only up from here. Is that what we're saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I went to a basketball game.
Oh, seriously?
I haven't been to a basketball game forever, but the Caledonian Gladiators. And I was like, I got the opportunity to go.
Did you play basketball? Or do you play basketball?
No. I mean, I was terrible at it. I was so bad at it. I didn't really. But, you know, I think it's fun to go to a game every once in a while. But I haven't gone for years, so that was pretty fun.
Yeah.
Took the fam.
Are you a football fan? Like the round football fan?
The global football fan,
like the proper football fan.
I do fan. I think I would have to say I enjoy it, but I'm more of like a World Cup sort of national team fan. When I came to Glasgow, I got a little bit spooked.
Oh yeah,
and I was told like, don't pick a team in Glasgow, and I didn't know. I was just kind of new here. I was like, what's going on? And I was just told, don't dial in, because you pick a team and you lose half your city, you lose half your mission field. So because of that dynamic in Glasgow, I just didn't go that direction at the beginning. I probably could get into it if I picked safer teams, but I just didn't start that journey, and I've just stuck with other sports. So.
Hey, in Edinburgh, we've got, it's not just as, the rivalry isn't just as strong, but we've got Hearts and Hibs, and we've got, over the years, we've had players from both teams in our church together, and so it's a bit of banter. But yeah, in Glasgow, it's a little bit more, it's a bit more serious, isn't it? Yeah. I grew up in Glasgow, so it depends on what school you went to, right? You supported either Celtic or Rangers. It was...
Right. And, you know, our church, we got different locations and it depends what location I'm in, like where the, so I think I'm really thankful that I didn't pick a team or go that direction, because had I, like these days, whatever location, some of our locations wouldn't work probably or whatever the case, but we're turning into the year and maybe people wonder like what we're doing with this podcast. It's not scripted. I do not know what
people
you're going
to
say.
Tell, would they?
No, I don't know what you're going to say. And funny enough, as I've kind of thought about some of the topics ahead, I'm like, I have no idea what's going to come out of Pete's mouth when we talk about, or
I'm
what
not nervous
his
about me,
are.
Brian.
You're nervous about you?
No, I'm not nervous about you. I'm nervous about you. I'm thinking, what's Brian going to say next?
Oh yeah, but I'm also curious because I don't know, as a leader, I mean, we learn from in different kinds of spheres, whether books or you know, online teachings from different things. But to have conversations like this, yeah, peer to peer, it's like, mm-hmm. I'm really curious about you and how you think, and so it'll just be fun to have these conversations.
Likewise, looking forward to it, Brian. Yeah, let's see where we go. We've enjoyed friendship over the years, and we've always had catch-ups. And sometimes it's been kind of a couple of hours together, but to actually get regular, weekly hangout with my friends and a few people can listen in, it's a joy. Yeah, and I'm looking forward to the journey. And you pinged me over a topic for today. I thought it sounds great. So,
yeah, well, I just think as we're turning into the year, I'm obsessed with this idea of getting the right things great. Mm-hmm. Like not just right, but the right thing's great. Right. And you know, I have some thought. I know there's so many pulls on our lives, so many urgent things, so many big things. And I know just what it's like to want to pass up today's maybe right thing or skip something for a few days or skip something for a few weeks. That's important to me and to thriving. And so I know the pull of that. And so for me, these kinds of seasons are, okay, am I neglecting the right things? Do I need to make some adjustments on getting the right things? And I don't even know what your,
but you know,
your
yeah,
right
I, thing. I think that what you're saying is so important because often problems don't come because of, I know that they often come because of the big things.
Sure.
But the big things never just come from nowhere. The big things usually come out of tons of little small things that weren't right for a long time. Then it leads to big things.
Yeah.
And I think there's a huge power in what you're saying, that actually doing a whole lot of smaller things really well, consistently for the long haul, builds something. That is so incredible. So no, I think this is a great conversation. Really.
Yeah.
So what's your phrase again? Do the right things great.
Right things great. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's developed. I heard Henry Nouwen, maybe a poor recording of Henry Nouwen speaking at some graduation a couple decades ago. So it was just one of those moments where I'm hearing him talk about the flow of his heart. He was referring to the passage of Jesus going up on a mountainside and spending all night with the Father and then coming down and appointing 12 and then going into ministry. And he was talking about how, you know, it starts, you know, everything starts here in our hearts, like with us as individuals, us in our relationship with God. And I kind of grabbed onto that philosophically decades ago. And I will say phrases like, you know, reawakening starts here, or, you know, that ministry outflow starts here. And that's kind of what I mean by getting my right things great, knowing that that's going to impact who I am as a leader and how I lead and make decisions in my sphere around me, and then the outflow of the ministry. So I like going back and, you know, three times a year at least, and just like, okay, how am I doing at leading myself, at self-leadership?
Do you do that as an actual review moment?
I think about this all the time. Mm-hmm. I can't underplay, like, this is an obsession of mine. But as we turn into the year, it's a normal time. Going into the autumn is a normal time. And then usually in the spring, are there any like light adjustments needed? But yeah, when it comes
super
to
wise. Some Bible verses are coming to mind. So,
okay, great. Yeah.
Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Mm-hmm. Or another translation, everything you do comes from there. And Jesus said, the good man out of the good treasure brings forth what is good, but the evil man out of the evil treasure within him brings forth what is evil. Mm-hmm. And then there's that verse in In fact, I remember this was advice. I was chatting to a leader of a fairly influential church, and I remember asking, talk me through what are your priorities in life? And he said kind of shocked me. He said, I'm my priority. Oh, and I thought, wow, is it not meant to be like J-O-Y, Jesus, others, yourself?
Yeah.
but he went on to clarify what he said, and it was from, I've got to hear this, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. And you think, wow. It's a sober thing, isn't it? So obviously, I think everyone should watch their life and doctrine. You know, what's going on in your life? Also, what do you believe? Wow, it's hugely important. What are you believing? Because subtle shifts in that end you in a bad place. So what your life and what do you believe? And I think that's important for everyone, but especially for people who are leading God's people, because it says persevering, because if you do so, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Ah. I mean, there's a responsibility on us that what goes on in us will, you know, how it's going with me will be how it's going in my church. And it's kind of a challenging correlation there. So if I'm thriving, if I'm doing great, things start going well in the church. And if I'm not doing so great, then things start to struggle in the church. So.
Yeah, add to that all the chat about eldership and how it's supposed to be rooted in being able to lead your household, you know, like close in, like how are you doing with the close in life and leadership?
If it's not working at home, don't export it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm sure you feel this way, like the seasons of leadership, I suppose, where I've not been at my best are times where I've not been at my best personally, like I've been more stressed, more agitated, less peace-filled. I like being a peace-filled leader. Like, that's how I want to be as a leader. And yeah,
no, so true. See that. So true. So what rhythms, what are the things that you've got in your life, Brian? What are doing those consistent things behind the scenes? What would you be, you know, what would be your top ones?
Yeah, I was hoping you'd go first. No, but I have things that I do well, and then things that I always need to be more attentive to, that slide. And when I think about the basics, getting the right things right, like it's pretty just normal kind of stuff. But for me, I would say, like, I am obsessive about my Jesus times in the morning. And that's not necessarily just because of an idea that I had. Actually, it started off in 2012, where I was in Athens, and I had this time with Jesus, and where I felt like Jesus asked me to give him 1 hour every morning. And I felt so sick about that, because my track record before that of my alone time with Jesus was hit or miss. And that's like hit or miss monthly. I mean, I don't know. Like, I felt like there was no way I could do this. But then I felt like Jesus was asking not just for time, but for an hour. And I remember wrestling with him, being like, I have proven with all of my life up to this point that I am not disciplined enough, that this will slide over time, that this, and I have a hard time with 15 minutes, maybe, let alone an hour. Well, that was August 2012. But that challenge and that really specific thing that I felt was from Jesus changed my life. Right. And I have really grabbed on to that. That's true on my days off. That's true on my days on. That's true when I'm feeling stressed, like message writing day. Like, sometimes I've been working on my heart, and maybe we'll talk about overcoming fear and worry and anxiety lots in the times ahead. That's one of my side quests in life. So we'll get there. But like, sometimes like, I just feel like I want to get to it, to message writing, or I want to start early so I can take pressure off the end of the day. But I have just been like, no, if I feel like I need to start early to take pressure off the day, I'm still going to go and start with my hour with Jesus and get up early. But I'd say that's probably the thing that I have been best at in all of this. And
but, I mean, so just stop there for a minute, because you think if the typical advice people expect to hear is, well, it's a song, read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's almost so obvious. It sounds trite. It sounds, but it actually is the most life-giving advice. But it's not just doing those things. You use the word, I'm almost obsessive. Yeah. So in other words, you're not just doing it. There's a quality to that. You know, you could be hanging out with your wife, mm-hmm. but you're kind of not really engaging with each other.
Yeah.
But you're talking about a qualitative time with Jesus, not just a tick, I've done it. So yeah, read your Bible, pray every day, but actually engage with God, pour out your heart, love on him every day. I'm with you. That's how I start my day. That's
the priority, though. When I talk about it sometimes with people, they might have a thought of, oh, that's legalistic or that's religious because of how much of a priority and an obsession it is. But for me, it's not legalistic because it's flowing out of how I genuinely believe life works.
That's a discipline, isn't it? I mean, it becomes legalistic when somehow you think if you miss it one day, God's not for me or he's not going to answer my prayers today. That's all of a sudden that you do something for God, God does something for you. That's transactional. Right. That's karma. Sure. That's other religions. Right. That's not Christianity. Right. But it's not legalistic. It's disciplined, right? It's, mm-hmm. You've said, hey, this is the biggest, most important thing for me. And you have to prioritize and put into your calendar and create disciplines around the things that are important. So no, I think you're right. I think you're right.
Yeah. So it's a big deal to me. And I spiritual realities are real realities. And I think that the enemy wants other things to be important to me, like sleep or getting to that stressful thing or whatever, anything to kind of downplay the importance of my check-in time and my abide time with Jesus. So that's a bit that I'm pretty good at. The rest of it, well, you know, like I was assessing myself when it comes to my health, my physical health, mm-hmm. and I would not rate myself like exercise. I have good thoughts about exercise. I do exercise, but when I look back at the last season, it's very quick to go, mm-hmm. and then when I look week by week, I'm like, oh, I did that once, mm-hmm. or I did that, you know, twice. So where my hope is to do it.
Are you a member of a gym or?
No. I have some weights here in this room here. I got some weights over here that I'll do, which I'll do sometimes, or I have a bike mm-hmm. hanging on the wall here for my, or I go out and run on the pavement, like outside. And I have an indoor exercise. So I moved away from going to the gym because that was a roadblock for me, like spending the time getting to the gym and then going. I know it works for a lot of people, but I found myself more apt to do it, shockingly enough, just when it was so much more in reach. Mm. Do you do anything with exercise?
Yeah, not obsessive. I'm a member of a gym. I'll go once a week to the gym. And then I'll do exercise at home. So I figure I always have a long-term mentality when it comes to life. So the idea of, you know, January comes, hey, let's join a gym. You know, that's never going to work. Or let's start eating healthy. It's not, you know, you have to you get yourself in a rut that lasts for decades. I just do exercise. I do self-body weight stuff. So I do pull-ups, pull-up bar. I do press ups, do squats, I do that at home, and then at the gym I just do all that as well. So and then I go for long walks. So that's how I.
Oh yeah.
So I think you need to, you know, if you wanted to change your physique, you need to go three times a week to the gym. I have no interest in that. I'm interested in keeping myself fit and healthy. And do you know what the thing is? When I remember I'm 49 now, but when I turned 30. I found myself getting pain in my backs and sciatic pain and all sorts of things just because I was spending so much time sitting, writing sermons, working on, you know, meeting with people, just constantly sitting. And so I thought, man, I'm 30. I can't be getting aches and pains. So I started getting a rhythm of exercise. And if I keep exercising, then keeps me fit and healthy. So it stops the aches and pains coming. So yeah, I think it's great. It's great. And eating healthy as well. And do you know, I'm not really super obsessive with that, but I kind of, I'm alert to what I eat. I just try and choose not to overeat. I'll sometimes enjoy a dessert, but more often than not, I'll just choose not to have a dessert. You know? So it's just, it's just the constant, lots of small choices that, hopefully they help in the future. I've started taking these things in the morning. I have Huel. Have you seen Huel?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
So that's my lunch. So it's a milkshake, and it's a kind of nutritionally complete meal, apparently. So I have eggs in the morning. So two poached eggs every morning. I've had that for years. And then I have Huel for lunch, and then I have a proper meal in the evening. And for breakfast, I have Huel greens. It looks like a broccoli milkshake.
Really? Wow.
So you have that with a pile of vitamins, and that's how I start my day. So,
wow.
Yeah, yeah.
That's amazing. I am always trying to figure out the food thing as well. I do start my day with eggs as well, because so much vitamin D. And in Glasgow, we just need.
How'd you do
vitamin D? Huh?
How'd you do your eggs?
However I feel, whether it's scrambled or fried or just any way. I just love eggs.
I have nailed how to do the perfect poached egg. It's taken me years to get there.
Okay.
Do you want to know the secret? Yes, you can't please. Tell anyone else this, right? But okay, what you do is you boil water, you put it in like a pudding bowl,
yeah,
and then you break the egg into the pudding bowl. Then you put the pudding bowl in the microwave. You give it 30 seconds, and it comes out the perfect shaped poached egg. The problem is...
Nothing else?
Nothing else.
Okay.
It's the perfect poached egg. You don't need vinegar. You don't need to stir the thing. You don't need to do anything. Just pop it in a bowl, because the bowl creates the shape of the egg. It's perfect. The problem is if the egg's slightly smaller, or you go 1 second more than 30, it explodes in the microwave. So that's the only downside. That actually happened this morning with me. So I spent 10 minutes cleaning the kitchen because it one exploded. But other than that, it's the perfect way of doing eggs. When it works, it's perfect.
that's funny. When I think of other things, like I don't struggle with nighttime stuff. Like sometimes people are like, I struggle, you know, phone scrolling or whatever. I don't struggle with nighttime. And I think that's because when I talk about getting the right things right, I'm thinking about mornings. I kind of have this thought, you know, slay the morning, slay the day. Like what before 10 a.m. looks like for me is, I don't want to say it's the most important thing, but like that really sets up my day. And so because I'm really focused on mornings, I don't have as much issues with the evenings. What about you?
Yeah, that's great. Do you know, I remember hearing, was it W.M. Beecher or someone like that saying, the first hour of the day is the rudder of the day. You know, the first hour is the rudder of the day. So I think you said it better. You slay the morning. Slay the day.
Slay the morning. Yeah.
It's a bit more like that's the goth version.
Yeah, so, I guess so.
Yeah, well, I remember when Becky and Michael, Becky's 23, Michael's 21, but when they were born, I remember thinking, wow, I'm not really going to have a quiet time, because when they're up and you're changing their nappies and you're trying to feed them, and then you're trying to get to work and all that, quiet times were just not a thing. So when we started the church, I was working full-time as an architect, so I needed to leave to get to the office. So you're doing this family thing in the morning, getting the kids up, ready out, to nursery or mother-in-law's or whatever, and Angie's going to be a teacher, I'm going to the architect's office, and you don't have much time for this lovely quiet time with Jesus. So I remember thinking, the only way this is going to be survivable is I need to get up earlier than them. So, and the only way that's possible is if I get to bed at a decent time every day. So I don't know, 20 years ago when the kids were just tiny, I got into the rut of setting my alarm at 5:45 and I try and get to bed at latest 10:30. So I get a decent sleep and then, like clockwork, you know, wake up 5:45. Now, sometimes I'll wake up without the alarm and then that's my time. Now, in the summer, it's wonderful because it's beautiful and bright. In the winter, It's absolutely, it's miserable. Now, my thing is, though, initially when I did the whole early thing, so I had an hour before the kids surfaced, and then I would be ready for the kids and I could give them my attention and get them up. But I remember in those dark winter months, I would just go into the living room because it was freezing outside. I was into, and just sit and try and read or pray. And that's called sleeping on the sofa. Okay. I may as well have slept in my bed, because you go through and you're so tired. You end up nodding off on the sofa and you spend basically an hour having a kip by yourself in a cold room. So I figured that the only way this is going to work is I have to go out. So I would put on a jacket. Sometimes I'd have my pajamas under my jeans, but don't tell anyone that. I would have my jacket on, hat, gloves, everything, and then just go out, and because that's the only way to stay awake. So I would just go for, I don't know, 40-minute walk, an hour walk. But yeah, so that's what I do. But in the summer, to be honest, it's a joy in the winter as well. But in the summer, it's a little bit more joyful because I've got the river near my house here, so I go down by the river, and it's great. Yeah,
oh, that's great. I the things that I kind of watch to make sure that the rest of my, like, kind of markers to make sure that I'm doing the healthy things or getting the right things, great, is I tend to watch my journal. I don't journal every day, but if I haven't journaled in a month, I'm like, what's happening? Am I not hearing anything from Jesus, or am I just being lazy in recording what I feel like God's saying? I kind of watch that. I watched, do I have joy and optimism in my home? Hmm. Like with my wife and family and kid, you know, kids, or am I just like, lethargic or exhausted kind of at home or whatever. I kind of watch those indicators to as simple things to flag up. Oh, I think something's needed. Some changes are needed.
Hey Brian, let me just quickly go back to the time of day. Cause I guess we're promoting mornings, but I don't think that's the point, right? I think the point is if you're an evening person, give God the best of your day. Don't give him the dregs, the worst version of you. Give God the best version of you. And people have got to figure when that is. For some people, it might be their lunchtime. For some people, it might be their nighttime. Mm-hmm. Figure what works for you. But the point is, do it consistently for years. Don't just do it as a January resolution. Do it consistently for years. And you'll see it as well. But when I've hung out with people who are really bearing huge fruit, these are, I don't know any of them who don't have a prayer life. We had, mm-hmm. we had Terry Virgo stay at our house last year. And in the morning, he said, can I use you? I've got a little garden office here. He said, can I have the keys to your garden office? I said, yeah, no problem. So he's in here early praying. Wow. Comes in ready. My friend from India, Solomon, who oversees hundreds of churches, he was with us a couple of months ago. Again, when I'm out for my walk, I looked into my little garden office and Solomon's on his knees for several hours, just getting time with God. But for these guys, they're the furthest from legalistic. They're just so full of joy. For them, it's a delight.
Yeah.
And also over the years, people who I've known who, whether it's morning or evening, it doesn't matter, but the quality time with God is everything. Hey, let me jump back again.
I skipped something because it plays into this. And I usually skip it. I usually don't mention this. But back in 2012, when Jesus asked for an hour, he didn't ask for 6 a.m.
Yeah.
He actually asked for 9 a.m. Mm. And that drove me crazy. I was like, I have meetings at 9 a.m. I have other things that I'm doing at this point. But I felt like in his kindness for those first years of doing it, he realized, like, I had kids at home when they got off to school, and I had to, in order to follow that specific direction, I had to rearrange my life and I had to rearrange other people's lives and how I led and how I worked in order to have that hour. But I feel like, it was kind of weird for some, like, I want to do my Jesus times, you know, like, now I want to do it early and first, but at that, for that season, and really a learning season, it was much more compatible because I wasn't as good at mornings back then.
Hey, Brian, I don't do journaling. I, that's something that you do that I don't do that. So what's the value in journaling? Does it work for everyone? Should I do it? Is it something that it works for some people? Do you reckon? What's your reason for journaling?
Okay. Well, people journal for different reasons. What I do is I journal to capture what I feel like I might be hearing from God. So if someone gives me a word, mm-hmm. maybe it's weird, maybe I have doubts, I'll write it down. If I have a dream and maybe I'm not sure, maybe whatever, I write it down. If I feel like I'm in my Jesus time and God's putting thoughts on my heart, I'll write it down. After an elders meeting, I'll kind of write down the things that were being prayed about or considered. Mm-hmm. So I use it as a discernment journal to build a mosaic of potential mm-hmm. words from God. Mm-hmm. And because I will forget. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it saved me so much. So I'm not like doing like, hey, dear diary. No, this is fine. Dear diary.
From the Ryan and Pete podcast.
Yeah, the preach this week was a disaster or whatever the case may be. Like I'm not writing that. I'm trying to remember what potentially God may be saying. And when it comes to decision making, I think we talked about this before, but like I'll look back and I'll look and see if there's other words that kind of support thoughts or potentially in the past. So yeah, I just forget. Right. I forget, and I'm amazed at how much I forget. So that's how I.
So
use
I'll write down prophecies, definitely. So yeah. Whenever someone brings a word, I'll have that written down because I'm with you. Do you know what? Well, I'm sure we'll get to the charismatic and gifts of the Holy Spirit and share in other episodes. But do you know? It feels like I don't let prophecies lead me. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And we read scripture. We, in our prayer times, God speaks to us. But what I found is that prophecy continually comes confirming direction, especially in the big moments. I've never had a big moment in my life where I've had to make big decisions without the prophetic words around me at that time. And they've been absolute lifelines. And I don't know how people who don't believe in those gifts handle those moments, because God doesn't, well, he doesn't want us to handle those moments without those gifts. He wants to give us those encouragements. Mm-hmm. Huge.
You want to talk about that next time?
Sounds great. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about prophetic words and all that.
And hey, how you used to be a cessationist.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a cliffhanger right there.
There we go. We'll put that out there. Anyways, when it comes to this time of season, probably my biggest motto is never stop restarting the right things.
Brilliant.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, however many times I've failed with eating or exercise, I don't let it worry me. I'm not going to worry about that. I know what the right things are, and I'm not going to stop restarting.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
So, Pete, we're also... Anything else you want to say about this before we get to our listener questions?
Well, I'm thinking about the advice you give there, never stop restarting. And I was thinking, okay, on Sunday, I was preaching about purpose. I was using Simeon from Luke's Gospel chapter 2, and I was talking about how Simeon had a clear sense of, this is what I'm going to see in my generation. This is what I'm going to see before I die. I'm going to see the Lord's Messiah. And I think we can carry in our hearts dreams of what God wants us to see in our generation. And I was saying, hey, someone might say, Pete, what's your plans for 2025? And I think there's a bigger question. I think the bigger question is, what's the purpose of your life? Mm-hmm. And in the back of that, you make your plans for 2025. So actually, my plans for 2025 aren't much different from my plans from 2024, because I'm going on a journey. I'm on a trajectory. So I think it's having that second the course of your life, and then keep restarting things that are off track and keep making small choices, but just head in a direction consistently, day in, day out, week in, week out. Set the rut, get in the rut, follow the course, pursue Jesus. I think there's something very, very powerful about that.
Questions?
Is there a question?
Yeah, so we have an email, everybody.
Great.
Brian and Pete brianandpetepodcast@gmail.com. brianandpetepodcast@gmail.com. Send in your questions because, and this is a good example. So I can't attribute this question because I don't remember who said it because I was in a group of people and they were firing questions for this podcast, like just verbally. And I was typing as fast as possible, which for me is very slow on my thumbs, on my phone. I'm just like, tick, 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 tick. You know, trying to get this right. I don't have the name of who asked this question, but the email questions in, and we'd love to deal with them and talk about them, brianandpetepodcast@gmail.com. But the question for this week is best advice. What is the best advice you were given in your younger years? Pete, what was the best advice you were given in your younger years, or at least top tier?
Yeah, okay. I mean, so can I have two?
Sure.
Okay, so one was when I was just a Christian. I'd just become a Christian. And I'd grown up going to a wonderful church in Glasgow. My parents took me there, a Presbyterian church, full of wonderful people. But it wasn't very charismatic. And I had the experience of being baptized with the Holy Spirit as a young Christian. So in the evenings, I was going to different other churches that had more charismatic experience and things. So it was almost like I was supplementing what I was getting. And I remember chatting to my pastor about, hey, I think I should probably go to two churches because it means that I can continue to be here and be a blessing here. And then I can also get some more charismatic experience in these places. And his advice was great. He said, Pete, you got to choose one church. Don't jump between two. He said, and in his advice, he actually then, it led me to take the choice to leave his church and be wholly in another church. Mm. And I thought that's really good advice. And so, you know, plant yourself in one church and put your roots down there and be there for the long term. So I think that was good advice for me. And the second bit of advice, totally unrelated, but it links to the theme of this podcast. It was another leader of another church who's a South African church that has huge numbers of people coming. And this guy has this crazy schedule. And I said, how on earth do you cope with the busyness of life? And to be honest, that question could put to a really busy mum with kids, or that question, that same question, you know, you'd be leading a mega church to have a busy schedule, or you could be a student, or you could be a professional. How do you handle the crazy demands in your schedule? And I always remember his comment, and it kind of links to the theme of what we're talking about here. And it says, I've learned the secret of working hard and playing hard. Mm. And I thought, that's great. So when you're at work, I'm all there. I'm here. I'm going to graft. I'm going to go for it. Good work ethic. But then when you're chilling, I'm totally chilling. I'm really going to switch off. I'm going to enjoy this. I'm not going to feel guilty for it. I'm going to enjoy time off. Work hard, play hard. Yep. What about you, Brian? What was the best advice you would give?
I love that. I'm receiving play hard. It's one of my, I didn't mention it, but reassessment things. I'm like, I'm continuing to pass on some of my opportunities to have fun. And I was like, I want to boost that priority up a little bit more, especially on days off. The best advice I was given, I don't know, not the best, but like top tier advice I was given when I first started ministry. I had this boss, Mark Began, and he was great. He was just what a gift of a first boss. I was low on a totem pole at a big church, and I had started off this ministry, and as I kind of imagined it best to put it together, it didn't go well. Like, there was a little bit of conflict, and there was this person there that was hard for me to work with, and it wasn't enjoyable. And so I kind of shifted gears a little bit. And after a few weeks or months, maybe, Mark came up to me and he's like, Brian, don't stop doing the right things the best you know how, just because you've experienced some pain in trying it. And he's like, pain avoidance isn't a good reason to stop trying to do things the best you can, even if it didn't go well before. And I just felt like I had some stuff to learn as a very young leader at that time. I had to learn how to lead a wider variety of people than was intuitively natural for me. I had some skills, but there were still some people types that I didn't know how to lead them as they needed to be led. And that was part of the pain that I experienced, that part of the people I brought around me, not all of them were I was naturally easy to lead. And so I had some growth. It was a humbling time, but it was a learning time. But again, that the advice from Mark was really helpful for me for two reasons. One, to not let pain or the past pain like determine, you know, if I'm going to follow what I feel like is right or what where Jesus is leading in the future. But it also forced me to keep growing in my leadership skills so that I could develop in areas that I didn't previously recognize I needed to grow. And I felt like I was fine. I would say I was a great leader, but I still needed to grow in leading people that weren't intuitively natural. So that moment was a moment I think about a lot.
And hey, if that advice hadn't come, you wouldn't have taken the steps you've taken in Glasgow, taking planting the church, leading the church, taking courageous steps with the church. You'd have done everything to avoid pain because, hey, growth is uncomfortable. Taking steps is uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Well done, Ryan.
That's fear great. And pain and worries, anxieties, so many things. I just don't want to be the things that run my life and my decisions. Mm. Yeah, I want to be courageous and follow Jesus, whatever the cost. But anyways, Pete.
Super. Great time.
Good. Well, we'll talk about prophecy, prophetic words next time. Yeah. And I am so curious what you're going to say and how that's going to go. But in the meantime, don't forget, people, to send us your questions, brianandpetepodcast@gmail.com. This is also on YouTube, I think, or it will be shortly. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen what it looks like yet, but it's on YouTube, and I'll put that out later when I have the exact information as this stuff drops. But thank you, everybody.
Great to chat, Brian. God bless everyone.
Yeah, Pete, great. Next week.
We hope that you enjoyed today's episode of the Brian and Pete Podcast. If you found this episode helpful, share with a friend and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss an episode. Brian is the pastor of Rehope Church, a multi-site church that started in Glasgow. He is also the founder of Scotland Bible School, a three-year Bible school where students study every book of the Bible. Pete is the pastor of City on a Hill, a multi-site church across Edinburgh and the Lothians. He also leads Go Global, a family of hundreds of churches spanning 17 countries. If you'd like to submit a question to Brian and Pete, please email brianandpetepodcast@gmail.com. We look forward to having you join us for next week's episode.